The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you ready?
In the NFL!
What is it like to watch the object that is Derrick Henry get smaller as he goes away from you?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When I see him get in the open field with the full head of steam, that puts safeties and DBs in bad positions.
Earlier on the show, America's number one Tampa Bay Rays fan, Dick Vitale. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Tony Dungy. Coming up, host of ABC's Card Sharks, Joel McHale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Our buddy Joel McHale, diehard Seahawks fan and host of Card Sharks.
All right.
On ABC. He'll be joining us coming up shortly here.
I think they're bringing back all these old games.
Yeah, I love Card Sharks.
Card Sharks. I'm an aficionado of game shows.
You're putting this earth.
To give away cash and prizes. Right. I was. Chris, you know that.
I know that.
Deep down, you know that. I know it. Do we do a Card Sharks with Joel by, if we get a good part of the interview, just freeze?
I used to love if we
appreciate what he's saying, we just say lower.
Right.
But if he needs to come more correct, higher.
Higher.
Scream higher.
Yeah.
Do we do that or just do a straight interview with Joel? Do we give him the choice? He's a funny guy.
Give him the choice.
Should we just freeze? Just yell freeze and just keep it there. Problem is that in an interview, you can't just freeze and then revisit when it's to your benefit.
No, that would be weird. That would be awkward. I don't think
when it's your next turn. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I'm conducting two interviews at once and I freeze one.
I do like the higher-lower play. There's something there.
Okay. And then there's a freeze. I mean, they do that in what's one of what's that game that they do on Around the Horn, right? Isn't there a freeze?
Around the Horn, they do freeze.
They do freeze.
He does freeze, yeah. But that's at the end when you lose.
Right.
They're more of the mute button.
So, top stories of the day. Tua is the starter in Miami. I think that's going to work out just fine. I'm surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised that they decided to make this move right now. I can't wait to see what it looks like, and he is going to be special. I'm all in on Tua. When we met him at the Super Bowl, you just sensed it, right?
Yeah, he kind of has that air about him.
Right.
For sure.
You like him. You want to be around him more.
Very likable.
Right. It's funny. Like,
family guy.
After he left, I even liked you more. You know,
well, that's you know that, what I mean. Like that's how powerful Tua is.
That's what I'm saying. I thought I had reached my threshold right. of liking you, right?
Freeze,
and then freeze, right?
Right.
So like, Carter, freeze, and then he was there, and I kind of liked everyone more.
Yeah,
like he was infectious.
That might have been the Cuban coffee talking.
Could have been the Cuban coffee, which I'd never had before in my life, and I was so tired good. And over caffeinated. Tell you that.
That was so good.
Wow.
You were hyped after you drank that. I got a video of you and Mooch, and you kind of gave a woo.
I think Tua is the quarterback version of Cuban coffee. Except for the fact that you feel more tired just short minute and a half or 2 minutes later.
Right.
I think it's going to last. And then there's the Cowboys. My colleague, James Slater, that's part of your news update, right?
Yeah, we're going to start with that.
We'll hit with that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to beat this to death, aren't we?
Dude, they're the Dallas Cowboys. What do you want?
Here's what I want. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for 162 last night. Let's talk about him. Why are we devoting all this time to this team?
Well, he says that he's ready to...
It just gets my blood pressure.
Oh, okay. I'll bite. What do you want to talk about, Clyde Edwards-Helaire? The fact that he's on a 5-1 team that goes ahead and gets Le'Veon Bell to add to the mix so he doesn't have to carry it 90 million times?
Yeah. Let's talk about how that could ruin the, you know, the chemistry.
What chemistry? But all of a sudden there'll be anonymous quotes talking about how Andy Reid is ruining the team by bringing on a top-flight pass-catching running back that should be dynamite behind this team. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It won't work out. Because they're without three of their top flight offensive linemen. And all I heard last hour was the Cowboys are without their
Pro Bowl, which is greater than three.
Top flight offensive linemen. And the Eagles are down to second stringers at four of their line positions in Philadelphia and almost came back to tie the Baltimore Ravens, who Dan Patrick came on the show yesterday and called the best team in the NFL through 6 weeks. And you can make that argument. I know that they lost to the Chiefs.
I'm surprised that he's
but the Chiefs lost to the Raiders. I mean, again, his point is that, you know, you don't know 6 weeks in.
Just saying, they're bringing a big personality in with Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
You're not going to
get
me to take that cheese.
Masterclass.
There's
deflection.
No cheese to take. It's just something different to talk about than how bad Dallas is. We
but
know
Dallas
they're bad.
Was like, supposed to win the Super Bowl this year. Dallas was supposed to have a big year. That's it. Dak is franchise tagged. Everybody else is ready to go. They might be capped to the limit. I wasn't buying it because I thought the back end of their defense was not up to snuff. And if they didn't get home at the quarterback from the defensive line spot, they were going to have trouble stopping people, and I think that proved to be correct. I just didn't see them fall completely flat and collapse when Dak went out because Andy Dalton was supposed to come in and keep the ship afloat and moving forward. But the ship be sinking.
Okay, Michael Ray.
You got your news update over there, Christopher? Go for it. Hit it right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher. Big intro every
time. Yeah, it's Tuesday. There's not a lot going on, but we did get this nice juicy nugget courtesy of Jane Slater. The Cowboys players, this is from her tweet about an hour ago, Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal, but now as they sit at 2-4, discomfort leaking out on the coaching staff. One anonymous quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. And from another player, they just aren't good at their job.
Finger pointing. Can you imagine a player in the Dallas Cowboys saying that they're not good at their job? Someone else is not good at their jobs?
That's a lack of self-awareness.
Don't you think this is a total team effort right now?
Seems like it's 53 plus not good at their jobs at the moment.
But they're still only a half game in front of first place. That's it. They're still in first.
Yeah. By the way,
they're the first place Dallas Cowboys.
They would have a home playoff game if the playoffs started today.
Oh, my gosh. My hot take was that the seven seeds in both conferences would have a better record than the NFC East leader. That was my hot take of 2 weeks ago, right?
All right, stand by.
Let
me get you there.
I'm going to take it.
The playoff
two and
picture.
Four right now, 2-4 right now would put you out of the running in the NFC North and the NFC West. It would put you out of the running in the AFC North. It would put you out of the running in the AFC South and the AFC West. It would put you in a hole in the NFC South and the AFC East. But in the NFC East, it puts you in first place. That's why real estate is all important in life and in the National Football League.
13 of the 14 playoff teams right now have at least 4 wins.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That 14th team, your Dallas
Cowboys. I want to sneak in a phone call here, actually, if you don't mind, in the middle of all this.
Yeah, do it. The rest I got are just injury
updates. No, it's all right. We'll get there. JC in Washington State, you're on the show. What's up, JC? That's line 3.
He's on.
You there, JC?
Hey, Rich.
What's up? What's up?
Great show today.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to make a couple points.
Please.
About the Cowboys. First of all, let's not forget America's team came because I can't remember the writer's name, but he got tired of writing the Cowboys lose again. And I think you're right. You can't blame it on the wounded line. You know, there's plenty of teams out there, like you said, that have the same thing going on. I think it comes down to Jerry Jones. You got Jerry Jones that just wants too much attention, like another announcer analyst happens to say, and nobody was knocking on McCarthy's door to get him after he left Green Bay. There was a reason for that.
Well, and if the article that was written in Bleacher Report that popped 2 springs ago, I remember we were in New York City when that thing popped a couple springs ago, and the article was about McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers were not getting along, and McCarthy was spending time on a Saturday instead of walking through, he was getting a massage in his office and things like that. that he came out and was livid about, and thanks to the call, and so many other people that knew McCarthy pushed back so very hard against, that it was wild. And if you're saying that there's a certain sense of malaise and laziness from the coaching staff, as according to two unnamed players of the Cowboys are saying right now, 6 weeks in, then you're sitting there and you're Jerry Jones and you're like, okay, the guy also told me that he watched every single down of film last year. And then at the introductory press conference, let the cat out of the bag that I just said that I didn't really watch every single down. And then you're putting two to two together. And do you call the guy in your office and say what's going on? And, you know, what do you believe? I don't know what's to believe, but these are two unnamed players. And Jane Slater is as locked in as any reporter, period, end of story, with this team. She does a great job, and I'm thrilled to be a colleague of hers with this team, America's team, on the griddle.
By the way, that caller is wrong. That's not
I know.
Lost America's, the Super Bowl. That's not losing all the time when Bob Ryan came up with America's team.
The way, America's team, let's put it out there, if I'm not mistaken, was a creation of the late, great, soon-to-be Hall of Famer Steve Sable. That was the name of the film, the NFL film's America's team. I think it was like late 80s. Could have been like 78. Yep, 1978 highlight film. I've got it right here. John Facenda. They appear on television so often that their faces are for as familiar to the public as presidents and movie stars. They are the Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
That wasn't Steve Sable.
That Sable wrote it.
Bob Ryan wrote it, I thought.
I don't think so. That's what John Facenda wrote. Or said.
Oh.
At any rate, they stink on ice this year.
Which we now know.
Couldn't be more disappointed for you, man. Really. But they do have the players.
Yeah.
They have them. And again, that's the whole thing with Jerry Jones. He's put the players there. They're there. They're there. Dak's not. That's not his fault. But the players are there. And every other team is injured. The coaching staff has got to coach them up and fast. What else you got over there, Christopher?
Yeah. This Mike Giardi quote that he just posted on
my
Twitter.
Colleague who covers the Patriots for NFL Network.
But this is about the Dolphins. Okay. So just noting what Brian Flores said yesterday, of course, Tua is going to start now after the bye week for Miami. Brian Flores said this yesterday when asked about getting Tua into the game.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was good for him, just like any young player, to get in there and get a feel what it's like to play in the National Football League. That was really it. And now, 24 hours later, named starting quarterback. What changed?
I don't know. I mean, he's like, you know, I don't know.
Just a report from Schefter. I mean, it's not official, but I imagine it's official. But
if Adam Schefter's got it, it's official.
Right.
They haven't come out and said they haven't put out the all caps story calling him a false rumor monger like the Raiders did in 2006. No, I don't think that's an issue. I think I don't know. It could be him just basically saying
that's just interesting.
That's what it is. And then overnight, they're like, you know what? Let's
based
do it.
Based on his two pass.
No. It's got to do with everything that they have seen off camera.
Yes, everything, but you make the move when Fitzmagic is stinking.
No, you don't. You make it when the team's feeling really good about themselves, and you have an entire week to prepare him for the next game, which is against Aaron Donald. He's going to have to face Beast soon enough. And again, the issue for me, just knowing the game as I have and hearing from people, there is going to be an adjustment catching his football.
That's like why Bill Belichick always uses left-footed punters.
I'm telling you, I've heard it throughout my tenure at NFL Network. When Tebow was playing and Vic, the number of times that a ball was in the air and it would be spinning in another direction, somebody who's a great wide receiver in the league would just drop it. It would hit he couldn't catch it. The spin is different. It's coming at you different. It winds up at you different. You have to know it.
True, true.
What else over there?
A few injury notes. Kyle Shanahan said Raheem Mostert with his high ankle sprain is likely headed to injured reserve. So that'll put him on the shelf at least 3 weeks. Mike Tomlin said Deontay Johnson's been dealing with the random injuries the last few weeks, back most recently. He's going to be back on the team this week, so the Steelers might actually have a healthy, their full complement of wide receivers for Ben Roethlisberger. Look out there. John Ross, Bengals wide receiver, confirmed to Mike Garafolo that they've been discussing possible trade options for him ahead of the November 3rd deadline. And the Rams signed kicker Kai Forbath to compete with the seventh-round rookie. Yes, Sam Sloman.
Yeah, he's been a little shaky.
Been a little shaky. And World Series Game 1 tonight, pitching matchup.
Fun.
Show that there ever will be, but
isn't Bachelorette a contact sport?
That well, potentially. Yeah. According to Chris Harrison, there's some sports tonight, and there are black boxes covering things up. I don't know what's going to happen.
I wonder what did he think last night? Because he's a Cowboy / Oklahoma Sooner, isn't he?
Yes, indeed.
So how do you handle something like that last night? Right,
a lot of alcohol, probably.
I mean.
As you'd like to say, a couple fingers deep in like whatever you're sipping on.
Yeah, some deep red.
Kyler Murray back in Big 12 country looking like that, man.
I think it's amazing that he's never lost in the state of Texas and also at that stadium. That is incredible.
Is it the state of Texas? Did he not even lose at Texas?
No, he was 42-0.
Oh, no, I know he was at high school.
Oh, but in college, you mean?
In college, did he lose at A&M, did he lose at if they ever played, or did he lose at Texas?
They were billing that as in the state of Texas. He's never lost.
He's never lost in that building. Let's take one more call. Ryan in Pennsylvania, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hey there, Rich. First time calling in.
Hey, where you been? It's been 6 years almost. Where have you been?
Just started listening ever since Dan Patrick and you guys went on Peacock. So.
Beautiful. We Pretty like cool. hearing that. Tell your friends. Tell everybody you know. What's on your mind?
Well, I was born in 1995, so I am about 25 years old. And in my lifetime of paying attention to sports,
yes.
the Cowboys have just been mediocre. So I know the previous caller and you guys talked on why they're called America's Team, but
right.
can we stop calling them America's Team? How can we... What other team can we move on to?
I hear you. It's just that they are, and I've been to tons of football towns, man. I have been, and I've seen a lot. Pre-pandemic, when fans were everywhere, okay, and we were everywhere, and I can't wait to get back to that lifestyle. The Cowboys fans are absolutely everywhere. It does not matter what the city is. It does not matter how bad the team is. They're showing up in their Cowboy jerseys in your home stadium, even when the Cowboys aren't playing. And when the Cowboys are playing, they're everywhere. Even with the Giants, you know, when the Giants were stinking towards the end of the year, Cowboys fans would fill them up. Now, Steelers fans are everywhere. Packers fans are also everywhere. Seattle has come on strong. With Brady, put Patriots fans everywhere. But nothing does, in fact, compare to seeing Cowboys fans everywhere. Nothing does. It's the truth. So, in terms of being called America's team, in terms of winning, no. But in terms of ratings, I bet you last night was probably the top-rated Monday night game of the year so far.
Yeah,
hasn't come out yet.
Right.
But I appreciate the call. That is an indictment. 25 years on the planet. He was born the year that Irv and the triplets last won it.
Yeah, so he got it. 95, we won the Super Bowl, so... And we beat the Steelers.
Yes. So when
he was alive in the era of greatness.
He was, in fact, an infant. Alive.
You're still alive as an infant, right?
Yeah, but you don't know anything. You're just a blob.
Some adults don't know anything.
Hey,
either,
man,
so.
I was alive as an infant when Joe Namath took the Jets to glory. And I'm a 51-year-old shell of a man.
At least you have Super Bowl III, though.
That's right?
Right.
At least I do. Right. I remember that when I was going boom boom in my diaper. Joel McHale just said those words. Joel McHale, the host of Card Sharks on ABC. I love this guy. He's coming up next. We'll have a lot of fun with Joel.
Hey, folks, now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room, collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Back on Peacock, Bucks Raiders on Sunday night on NBC. We're on NBC Sports on Peacock every single day. So we're about to be rejoined by our audience, and Joel McHale will be joining us in a split second, a hot minute, as they say. So we could talk about Jane Slater's tweets all day or just have her call in before the end of the show. So we'll do that.
Fantastic.
That'll brighten up the day a little bit.
So everybody get ready. She's going to call in. She's going to call in at a quarter to the hour. Okay. Quarter to the hour. Okay.
I mean, TJ, this is going to be all week, man. Get ready.
Okay.
I got nothing to say.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
There you go.
Sorry, Jerry.
There you go. Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network in just mere seconds on Sirius XM. And we're also here on the Mightier 1090 in the Rich Eisen Show radio network. And we're thrilled to be joined here on Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock. Is a delightful human. My kids love it when he shows up on a Masked Singer. Just absolutely loves. they love it. Kids love Joel McHale. Adults love Joel McHale. Everybody loves Joel McHale. And soon he's joining the pantheon. I will use the word pantheon.
Whoa.
Pantheon of game show hosts.
He guest hosted this show.
Look at that huge ass chip he's holding in his hand. Every game needs a wild card. Card Sharks. Coming up on Sunday night on ABC, our buddy Joel McHale. How are you, Joel?
I'm still, each of those chips weighs about 45 pounds, so it's a great workout.
Well, you do flies with that, right? I know, in your workout, right?
Absolutely. With the amount of HGH running through my veins.
Joel, the quiet parts shouldn't be said out loud like that. Don't do that.
I'm sorry. What is this, Major League Baseball 10 years ago?
I think once upon a time Gene Rayburn got sat down because he talked about juicing. And I don't want your game show to be a problem, okay? Just don't want it.
I do love watching the old Match Game on the Game Show Network because it is the most wonderful jailbreak, watching Betty White, Richard Dawson.
Fanny Flagg.
They're all drunk. Or slightly buzzed, and it's great. It's always like 1974, and their outfits all look like they're in a musical now, and it's just incredible.
Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly smoking a pipe on the top row, and it's funny, you could see them every now and then on TV, and I was sitting there watching with my 9-year-old the other day, Joel, watching an old Match Game, and the clue was, so-and-so just got fired, John just got fired, and he's so embarrassed because he was replaced by a blank. And we're sitting there going, robot or something. And the female contestant said woman, and all six of the people said woman, and they matched it. And my son was so confused, and I'm like, different time, Coop.
Different time. Oh, I'm amazed at some of the stuff they allow on the Game Show Network, because some of the answers are pretty rough.
You can't believe this was on television back in the day, but it was.
I'm literally racking my brain right now trying to think of an example that is not going to end up
bad
with big trouble.
I gave you one. I mean, seriously, my son went, he was so confused, and I just shook my head. I'm like, just different time. But I cannot wait for Card Sharks. Do you have a long microphone as well, like Gene Rayburn, or no?
Well, as you know, Gene Rayburn died when he impaled himself on that.
No.
Went up through his nose and came out the back of his skull. So, right. Alec Baldwin on the Match Game, the new one. He has the solid gold one. So I like to call it a pedestrian or typical mic.
Okay.
I wouldn't try to take that.
Yes, I did not see the debut of Card Sharks this past week, but I will be locked in because I love you and I just love the show. It's such a simple game to play.
It's very simple, but with each, you know me. I'm the first person to be sarcastic about everything, anything that moves. And when these people win, they can win like $600,000, which is in the spectrum of game show winnings these days.
That's a lot.
I think millionaire is the only thing that comes close.
And by the way, speaking of big winnings, you and I were on the pyramid together.
Yes, we were.
Guys, who's ever listening, Rich Eisen was terrifying at how quick he was. And the only reason why you didn't get to the 100 grand is because the very nice woman who was super quick, she said the clue out loud.
She read it. Yes, and I'll tell you what, Joel, and I don't know if this speaks about me more than anything else, if it's a window into my soul, that pissed me off because she ruined it for me. That's not the usual sort of general sense you're supposed to have in a game show, but it pissed me off.
And the network had a very hard time hiding your rage because you turned bright red and you gripped the side, the thing that you ripped your chair apart practically out from underneath you, and Strahan had to restrain you.
Strahan had to restrain me. Joel McHale here on The Rich Eisen Show, host of ABC's Card Sharks, that you can check out at 10 p.m. on ABC's on Sunday nights right here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's get into it.
I'm not worried at all next Sunday about there being, going up against the World Series game. I think we should be fine.
No. But you'll at least be out of the woods of your Seahawks will be playing earlier in the day against the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. So
can we just talk for one sec about that finish against Minnesota?
Please.
Oh, my Lord.
Go for it.
Oh, no. I was just like, would anyone ever doubt Russell's ability to do anything? I just wanted you to check that out, that last 2 minutes. My wife and I lost our minds jumping up and down and screaming that our dog, we had to put our dogs in a separate room.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the Seahawks play football games like Pete Carroll chews his gum, right? I mean, like, it's not normal. It's a chomp. It's just a constant chomp. It's a jittery chomp that just leaves you on edge the entire time. It's like Pete Carroll's personality and id almost that's on display with these games. But when it all comes down to it, you got number 3, and now you got number 14. I think that's the best quarterback-wide receiver combination in the NFL with Russell and DK Metcalf. What a dream it must be for you to be sitting back and watching those two guys work, Joe.
Oh, it is, believe me. And DK Metcalf is 22 years old. So he's got a lot of years left, thank God. I'm sure we're going to have to pay him about $900 million, but whatever. Believe me, because Seattle, we spent the 70s and 80s and a lot of the 90s with people just making fun of every sports team unless Ken Griffey Jr. was on it. And, we got to the finals and we sold our basketball team and we got to the finals with Peyton and Sean Kemp. But we ran into a freight train called Michael Jordan. So anyway, when we won in 14 and then, we lost in 15 and we continued to be competitive every year. I think we only missed the playoffs once. Makes me so happy. It gives me, I think it's the greatest distraction from the pandemic.
They've been amazing. I mean, Russ is definitely the MVP. The crazy thing is that, and this has been mentioned over and over and over again, he's never received a vote for MVP before, which is mind-boggling. But he's going to...
That's mind-boggling!
It's not right.
It just shows you if we have to... Now that, Seattle is super prosperous, it used to be that nobody cared about it. Now it's kind of harder to brag about, to be like, Seattle's just tucked up there in the corner. And you're like, with Microsoft and Amazon? Yeah, okay, whatever. So, yeah, it's great.
So
I'm thrilled.
You should be. So, Joel, as a Seahawk fan, if you think that let's match your two loves right now with the Seahawks and Card Sharks. If you had to risk it right now, saying that the Seahawks should go higher with their level of play or freeze it based on making the Super Bowl, what would you do right now, Joel? Run the risk or freeze
it? I'm always going to say higher because everyone underestimates number 3, and then they're always, I guess, disappointed or surprised because he always steps up and he will always find a way. And I know that drives teams out of their minds and it makes us so happy. So higher, baby.
Higher. All right, pull the card, Chris. Pull the card. No, I'm sorry. It's just a Patriot fan pulling the card. It's a bad for
Ace.
Me, Joe. It's terrible.
Is that good?
It's terrible.
Ace.
It's no good.
Well, what are the chances that a Patriots fan, you know, cheated?
Oh.
I can't hear you. Hold on. Let me take the rings out of my ears.
Oh, boy. There we go, everybody.
Yeah. I don't know.
There
yeah,
go.
I don't know. Just go pump up one of those rings with deflate the ring. Just
oh, boy. No. This is great. I'm enjoying this back and forth immensely. It's so much fun.
Tom Brady during that time. Great. Everyone's going to be fine. They're all millionaires. Everyone's happy.
Oh, my gosh. My kids cannot get enough of seeing you on The Masked Singer, Joel. They just can't.
Well, singing Blurred Lines, I thought was going to, you know, if I had screwed that up badly, I mean, more than I did, it would have been career suicide. But
right.
Thank God I got through. I have so much fun on that because Ken Jeong needs all the help he can get.
Yes,
and,
yes he does. Yes.
He's a terrible doctor, and so I terrible joke. So I just great that I can go on there and help him.
So again, you're a dad and as well. So at what point? Because my kids can't get enough of Ken Jeong either. They're 12 and they're 9. At what point? And what heads up do I give them when they see The Hangover for the first time, Joel?
Well, you could show them the airline version, the in-flight version, which they did a version where he has some underwear on.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if that exists, but
yes,
you could just say, you know, this is the real world, and that is a man's penis.
Is that your fatherly advice, Joel? I mean,
yes.
That is.
I think you steer into the storm there like the Navy. You don't go around it. You steer right into it. And you just, yeah, what are you going to show in The Hangover?
I don't know. I think it's going to have to be a few years, you know. We just showed him The Karate Kid. Like, that's where we're at right now. You know, like that
right.
Actually just, we just showed that.
Maybe while you're watching The Hangover, when the scene comes up, you just jump in front of the screen and go, isn't Bradley Cooper a revelation? And
well, the problem is with that is the projection system might actually project Ken Jeong onto me at that point.
Good.
And that might be even more jarring than anything else. That's creating more, that's what we call an unintended consequence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Maybe you should work up slowly with some of Ken's other movies, like All About Steve and Vampires Suck. And, you know, you work up to it. Maybe they'll develop a resistance.
Oh, man. Well, we'll start with Card Sharks. How does that sound? We'll just start with that.
I like that. Starting with Card Sharks.
Fantastic.
I like that.
Congrats on that. Let's keep talking down the line. On Card Sharks, and we'll be watching Sunday night, 10 p.m. on ABC.
If the World Series is on, do you have to watch the sporting event because of the business you're in?
Yeah, there is also something called Sunday Night Football as well. But look, I'm a big game show fan, and I'm a big Joel McHale fan. So, you know, there's enough room for everybody. There's enough room for everybody.
Long live Rich Eisen, and may he live 1,000 years. For all the nice things that he says.
Thank you, sir.
I feel like we should return to the pyramid. And
Please.
I knew that when I won that over you, because of that mistake you made, I knew...
It gutted me. It gutted me, Joel. There's no other way to put it. It just gutted me. But there's still another day. I would do that in a heartbeat. I really would. But in the meantime, enjoy being part of that lineup yourself. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, I'll see you at the combine. I'm really excited to watch guys just slowly pace around a track. I'm really excited.
Joel McHale, everybody. There's Joel McHale right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Very popular Joel McHale, at Joel McHale on Twitter and Instagram.
You know, I've never seen The Masked Singer.
It's I don't know if it's for your age group.
You know,
honestly,
I see the commercials.
The only reason why I'm seeing it is because of my kids who cannot get enough of it.
It's a great family.
I mean, cannot get enough of it. And yes, it is a great family show, like where, you know, you're not going to be terribly surprised. Like, say, you know, Ken Jeong jumping out of the trunk of a car.
Yeah. Kids don't need to see that.
You know what I mean? So, is he still saying goodbye to Joel McHale?
Yeah,
that was a Jewish goodbye.
I did a show with Joe in the March, I think, March or April. We did a mission show for the LA Mission. So we work together.
Is he talking English right now? Is he putting words together?
I did a TV show with Joe.
Okay.
Joel. Sorry. I don't know what. Sorry. You guys, man. Come on. Coming to me like that. I wasn't ready. But yes, I did a show with him, and we were just chatting.
Did he give you the courtesy? Oh, I know who you are. Like Steve Harvey gave you at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I talked. I mean, we did it all day.
Very popular.
One night in the green room at the Comedy Store, Joel spent about 15 minutes trying to convince me to get married.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And?
Didn't work.
He's a great man.
No, he is awesome.
So funny.
He's awesome.
He is funny and he works his ass off, that guy.
Yeah, he's always working.
And he's on HGH. Did not know that.
Absolutely.
He's jacked. Ripped. I know that. Well, I mean, if you're standing there carrying all sorts of chips, and take a look at him from back in the day at the University of Washington. It's the first interview I've done with him where I haven't brought this up. I figured I need to throw in one where I don't.
Yeah.
But that is...
That's amazing.
Look at him in front of the Rose Bowl. He's part of the Don James Washington Husky.
Fourth string tight end or something.
Yeah. Do you think he was on HGH then, too?
Probably not.
We'll just leave it there. As they say, by the way, do you see that? That's what so many news hosts say. We'll just leave it there. That's what they say when there's all these arguments and all this awkwardness and, you know, Analyst A is barking at Analyst B, and they, you know, their producer's probably yelling in their ear, wrap it up.
Where's everything they left?
You know,
they left a lot there.
Great question.
We'll just leave it there.
I want to find that there.
Guys, we're going to have to leave it here.
All right.
Because Jane Slater is about to join us.
All right.
We need to take a break because she's got some NFL Network hits to do. When you get a hit like this, they don't teach. Totally unprepared. Oy, 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 as my parents would say. Back with Jane Slater in a second.
Hey, folks, now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room, collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
About to rejoin us, we will wait for them to return before we have one big simulcam happy family again here on NBC Sports on Peacock to welcome in Jane Slater. She is on hold right now. And again, TJ Jefferson, you need to prepare yourself because you've had enough about your Dallas Cowboys today. And I told you when you arrived here that coming off of a performance like that, it would be a three-hour Cowboy Palooza. And I didn't even really bring up very much about me posting the crying Michael Irvin emoji on my Instagram account, as I said to his face on game day morning that I would.
You warned it was coming.
I warned him it was coming.
Here's the deal, though. I was tired of hearing about the Cowboys from you guys, not from Jane. That's fine. She can talk about it.
Well, it's because she's got information. I've just got opinions. Well, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Plus, it's Jane, so and you, and Brockman and Mike. I don't know, you know.
All right, so we're almost back here on our radio.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Here we are. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. So, again, as I mentioned earlier today, when the Cowboys performed like they did last night in a manner that they performed in a game like that on Monday Night Football, it would be a lot of conversation about the Cowboys today. And then the three words that are manna from heaven for people like me in a position like the one I hold for this show, the three words are anonymous Cowboys quotes. Oh, chef's kiss. And I could not be more pleased to be joined by the individual who I mentioned is as locked in on this team as any other person on the planet. So you know these quotes are real, even though they're anonymous. Jane Slater of the NFL Network and NFL Media Group back here on the show. How are you, Jane?
I'm doing good. I wish, I know this hurts my boy Jefferson here, but, you know, I think what's frustrating, and of course what you're...
We're losing her. We just lost her.
Frustration was cool.
We'll pick up if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Did she get back on there? All right, Jane's about to join us one more time here. Again, these are quotes that we assume are from people who feel very, very, very comfortable with their standing within the team, that do not feel anything other than the ability to just say what there's on their mind. And Mike McCarthy at 2-4 right now, with a defensive coordinator that is on the griddle, kind of like me tap dancing, waiting to hear if Jane Slater's going to join us from a landline or not. Is there a problem, Chris? Can you update me on everything right there?
Yeah, she was still talking, so she couldn't hear us back either. So we had a cellular disconnect.
There. Cellular disconnect.
Write it down.
Two words you don't want to hear. Two words you definitely don't want to hear. Next up for the Dallas Cowboys. Let's see. I have not even looked at that. Oh, yeah, at Washington, at Philadelphia. Okay, so two wins later, you're 4-4, and you're probably like 19 games in front of the rest of the competition. Oh, boy, but then a Sunday afternoon game against Pittsburgh. That Pittsburgh will eat this team alive. They are one of the teams that would probably say, Andy Dalton, bring him on. That is definitely... These next two win are must win.
Yeah,
I understand you're in a division that stinks. Pittsburgh will make mincemeat out of the Dallas Cowboys.
They should. You're right. But we got two winnable games coming up.
No, so. I know. Two kind of must-have games coming up. You know, again.
That just the NFC East. I mean, what is that? That's 12 Super Bowls in that division.
That's five wins. There are Seattle's a five-win team.
Yeah, Titans.
Five wins. Steelers are a five-win team. There's five wins in this division. There are teams with five wins themselves. Bears are five wins.
Yeah.
Bears are 5-1. All right, I don't know if Jane's going to be joining us because I think she's back on. She's going to be on NFL Network shortly. So.
Gotcha. We tried.
Let's go to our phone lines. If she calls back, we'll pop her on real quick. Let's go to Bob in Ohio. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bob?
Okay, Rich, I'm a Bengals fan, as you know, and Andy Dalton is from the Bengals. Do not blame him for that loss, because it was your old Elliott, the guy from High Tech. I never did like him. He always womanized women.
I think thank you for the call, Bob. Appreciate that. Your call. Did he say what I think he just said?
I heard something about women.
God, oh, my gosh. Is Al in Dallas on the line? Let's take our buddy Al. How you been, Al?
Hey, TJ, I was wondering, I got to take a drive up to Plano. I was wondering when I get the local weather and traffic for the DFW area. Is Brockman going to go into that? I mean, Dallas all day long, Richard. Come on, man.
I don't know what else to tell you.
I didn't know how to follow up Bob from Ohio.
No, I know. Bob in Ohio.
A weird spot.
I know.
Between Tubin and Bob, I don't know where we're going here in this world.
So I don't know what to tell you, Al. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are of interest to everybody, and this is a team that's certainly a dream.
The Giants are in it, baby. Let's go. We're back in it.
I don't blame you for saying that. I don't blame you for saying that. This team actually almost – if could you imagine if you'd pulled that one off? You'd be in first place. And the Giants, the Giants came out here in the Los Angeles Rams and made the Rams work for every last minute of that game.
Yeah.
Then they go to Dallas, and it's
incredible. And by the way, you said it right before you lost Jane. The Dallas defense is awful. It's not that right. I mean, granted, you lost your starting quarterback and their starting lineman. Their defense is like horrendous.
They're terrible.
And if it's the guys that are giving up on the side of the ball, it's the guys on the defense that are giving up. I mean, they made the Cardinals look like world beaters.
And
it was horrendous.
And that's thanks for the call, Al. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's why I had the Cowboys winning the division, but going no further. Their defense, the back end of their defense, was definitely a concern. Is Jane back on right now? You there, Jane?
Yeah, Rich. Oh. Our lack of communication is bad as the Cowboys this year.
Aha! So I give you the floor here on whatever you're able to share. Obviously, the person who or people you've been talking to or. Want to remain anonymous for a reason, but what's the sense of things that you have right now?
And look, to be very clear, I have not ever been a fan of creating locker room discontent. I don't typically love putting out these type of stories, but I think what it paints a picture of is that we aren't getting the buy-in from the players as it relates to this coaching staff. And I don't know where we lost me, but, you know, over the couple of weeks, we were sort of seeing some of this. It started with Jalen Smith saying that they needed to simplify the playbook. In other words, Mike Nolan came in and wanted to have an exotic multiple defense, and Jalen had that very raw admission that maybe we need to simplify the playbook. And then you had guys like Everson Griffin saying that, you know, he was abandoning the, you know, the three-point stance. And then you have guys like our own Daniel Jeremiah at our own network who were looking at what looked like they were improvising on the football field, and even Mike McCarthy saying that in one of his virtual interviews, and that the players just needed to buy in. But without being able to get in the locker room and actually ask these players, are you buying in, you know, to this coaching staff, to this defense, this offense, we haven't had that ability. And I have frankly been reaching out to players, and I was told that to give them a competitive advantage, this coaching staff, and I get it because they're new, wanted to insulate their players. In other words, don't respond to the outside. This is our one competitive advantage given the condensed training camp, et cetera. Again, like I think you've got both sides here, that there's sort of been a lack of trust, and that happens when you have 10 players on IR. One of the guys that I don't think gets enough credit for how stabilizing he was in that locker room and how optimistic he was Dak Prescott. We saw that his rookie season when, you know, all should have been lost, losing Tony Romo, and you lost Kellen Moore, your backup quarterback, and now all of a sudden we're looking at the fourth-round guy who was four-string on the depth chart behind Jamil Showers, but he was playing with such a hot hand that they went with the hot hand theory, and even when Tony Romo was healthy, they didn't let him compete for his job. And so a lot of people forget that haven't been covering this team through all of this, and I think you're beginning to see when you start lacking that eternally optimistic glasses half full type guy in the locker room, and you look around and you've also not got all of your starters, because once they go on IR, they can't be in the locker room, they can't be on the sidelines. I think you're going to start to look around and say, who are our leaders here? And the people that are currently here aren't buying into the system.
So I know, again,
and I think that's a problem. And I think that's why it was important, you know, again, to put this out there and know that these are not disgruntled players. These are players that should have a voice. But with that being said, I think what was...
I guess we lost her again. It's all good. You want to put her back on hold? Look, I don't know what... I don't know what the status is of Dak, and if in COVID-19 world he's going to be allowed back in. I don't know if you're going to basically view him as, if you will, an essential tier one employee. Want to give her one last shot here? Mike, Jane, are you there? All right, we'll just send Jane back into NFL Network. She's got a hit anyway. But again, I don't know what Dak's ability is to be around this team. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, they got to get him back in there. If she's saying that his eternal optimism is something that was helping the situation, and now it's gone and he's not there. By the way, you know who also was an eternal optimist? This guy.
He sure was.
This whole thing. Maybe the players reacted well to it. Maybe they liked it. Maybe they thought, okay, he's on our side. Okay, he's got us prepared. I don't know.
Maybe that had reached the end of the line, though.
Look, Jason Garrett had reached the end of the line. I understand.
Yeah.
But getting somebody, and I know you usually sometimes go the opposite of the coach that you've just had. I don't know. But Jason Garrett is a guy who was an eternal optimist, and here she is saying that that's missing in the locker room. I thought that was very an interesting take, and not disgruntled players. Well, I'll tell you what, they feel the need to say something that it has not reached, one would say, the owner's office. It has now. It has now. When is he on? Is he on tomorrow? Is that when Jerry's usually on? Isn't he usually on his local station on Tuesday? Well, that'll be the first thing brought up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Did Jerry speak today?
Again, it just got to just play better, to use the coaching phrase, do what you do, but do it better. Number of times I've heard Mooch say that. The problem is do what you do, but do it better, is they don't know what to do. It's a new defensive system that they've brought in.
It's not good.
Not prepared is truly the worst thing you could say to about a coach. Unprepared. Can't react on the fly. Not good at their jobs. Wow. That's why Zeke putting the ball on the turf is so damaging. It's so damaging. He's the guy that could have come up with that 25-30 carry night and just carried the team through it. He took responsibility, which is obviously great in terms of leadership, but that's that. Is that game against Washington just huge or what?
Man. Ugh.
Washington wins that. They're
Washington, if they convert a two-point conversion, they're in first place.
Can you imagine? I mean, it is just on.
They're good on
what
defense.
What a show. Why I'm saying the NFL is the greatest narrative-generating machine there is. The greatest narrative-generating machine there is.
The greatest reality show. It's just, you know, every week there's something. Every day there's something.
Chris Carter is going to join us on tomorrow's show. Chris is a Hall of Famer. He is the correspondent for NFL The Grind.
Oh, sweet.
He was in Minnesota meeting with Justin Jefferson. I know the game didn't go very well, but that kid is really, really good.
He
also visited the George Floyd Memorial. It's going to be an interesting conversation with Chris tomorrow. Awesome. Travis Kelce is joining our program tomorrow as well.
Oh,
so
fun.
Is the always talented, enjoyable Kyle Brandt. Patton Oswalt as well. That's our Wednesday show.
That's a full show.
It's a full show. It's a big day.
I love it.
Dickie V, Tony Dungy, Joel McCallum. We appreciate Jane Slater popping in here. I mean, Tua named the starter and Dallas unnamed players going at the coaching staff a day after the Cowboys absolutely pooped the bed on Monday Night Football.
I blame Buda Baker for that, too.
Well, Buda Baker deserves all the credit, man. He was terrific. He was terrific. He was dynamite. He was a guy saying, okay, my defense is missing potentially our best player and Chandler Jones. I got it. That's when somebody on that offensive line or offense last night needed to say, I got it. Dak.
Should have been 21.
That's why I said last night, no fight in the name of Dak.
You didn't deserve the
I got savaged
that
for that last night.
You didn't deserve that. But
it's all right. I just took another tug of Montepulciano and put the kids to bed. Thanks for taking in this Tuesday show. We'll see you Wednesday.